It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, coast to coast and around the world.
I'm not a doctor, but I have a PhD in recognizing bullshit when I hear it.
From the America Out Loud Talk Radio Studios.
The American people are not feeling very loved right now, though. They're not feeling heard by the Biden administration.
It's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
In 1955, the 22nd Amendment was passed. What does the 22nd Amendment do? Well, it keeps presidents from running and being president for more than 2 terms. The problem with that is most Americans, and yeah, I said most Americans, believe that Donald Trump, should he win in 2024, he will just stay in the White House forever. They think he'll just stay there for another term. 65% of Americans believe that. How in the world did they ever get to that conclusion? What made them believe that Donald Trump would do that? I mean, he could have stayed in the White House back in January of 2021 after the election of 2020. But he didn't. And he had a great opportunity to do it then. So you have to ask yourself, why do all these people believe that? I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told, and thank goodness it is Friday. Welcome to the weekend. I hope you've had a great week. As we settle in here to the weekend, we are going to have a conversation with Chris Widener here in just a few minutes. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. Just go to BookerLikesGold.com and find out if diversifying your savings is the right thing for you. It could be. It may be the right thing for you right now. So check out BookerLikesGold.com. Well, this story that I started this hour with, it comes from the Daily Mail, and the headline reads, "President for Life? If Donald Trump wins in November, most Americans say he'll extend his term beyond the January 2029 limit." And that's a Daily Mail poll of over 1,000 people. They polled over 1,000 people. Over 650 of them believe that he would stay in office, or they're not sure. But only 35% of the population actually believe that he would leave the White House. The story says a fully 55% say Trump will try to stay in power beyond the 4-year stint if he wins November's presidential vote. About a third say Trump won't do that, and 10% say they're not sure what he would do come January 2029. That nationwide survey of more than 1,000 voters comes as Donald Trump and the Democrat President Joe Biden, they're in a very tight race, and don't believe the polls either. Why are you believing them now? You complained about them for years. You said you can't trust the polls, and so why are you? We just saw in the last week or two that now Donald Trump is leading in 6 of the 7 states in the swing states, and that's according to polls. So why are you believing them? They've been wrong over and over again. They're not votes, folks. You're not taking a vote on a poll. Votes matter. Go vote. Election day is important. So make sure that you go vote. Don't pay attention to the polls. You didn't believe them. You said you didn't believe them, so don't. Go do something about it. Now, this Daily Mail piece says their survey comes just days before Trump's New York trial for falsifying business records to cover up payments to porn actress Stormy Daniels, a wild card that could steer the vote, it says. It shows that most Americans say a Trump victory in November could see a longer stay in the Oval Office than the U.S. Constitution permits. And that's what they're talking about, the 22nd Amendment. Again, the 22nd Amendment, 1955, that came because FDR had been president. FDR was becoming king, wasn't he? He had been president for so long here in America, and he was there during World War II, if you remember that. Now, this is back to the Daily Mail piece, and it says here that Trump is speaking from his South Florida home with Republican donors in 2018. He praised Chinese President Xi Jinping, who had recently consolidated power. And Trump said, quote, "He's now president for life." And there was applause and laughter. So that's where this is coming from. That's how crazy these people are. Donald Trump makes a joke at Mar-a-Lago and 5-6 years ago, and these people are still hanging on to it and create a poll. And 55% of Americans believe that it's true. Quite frequently here on the program, I bring in the guest, Chris Widener. And Chris is a partner with Dinesh D'Souza with Red Referral Network. You can go to that at redreferralnetwork.com. He's also been around politics forever. He's a speaker and an author. He's a busy guy, but right now he's making time for us. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Booker. I always enjoy being on your show.
Well, you brought my attention to this piece in the Daily Mail, and for some reason, and I can't come to any conclusion why people would come to this conclusion, 55% of Americans that were polled, and 1,000 people were polled in this, they believe that Donald Trump, if elected, would never leave the White House. I don't know where that comes from. Do you have any idea where these people come from and why they think that?
Well, I think it's because the Democrats, in their fear-mongering, because they know they're going to lose, they're trying to just terrify people. And unfortunately, they're, you know, they call us the cult, right, where you just believe anything the cult leader says. Mm-hmm. They just believe it. They believe it. And every time I see that, I see it every day. I'm sure you do as well on Twitter and, you know, the whole thing, right, or X, I guess we should say now.
Yeah.
And every time I see it, I think to myself, these people have no understanding of the average conservative's thought process.
They
don't. We would never tolerate it because we're actually people of the Constitution. If he said, I'm not leaving, I'd be the first one to go in there and drag his hind end out.
Exactly.
Because we stand for the Constitution, and we know that you can't move forward if some individual man can overthrow the Constitution. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, and another 10%, they're not sure whether Trump would leave or not. So 65, two-thirds of the people that we see on the street actually believe that Donald Trump would never leave the White House. And I think that's probably a result of the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years now, 7 years, of the negative press and the weaponized press, the weaponized Department of Justice and the FBI, and everyone that went against Donald Trump. And now you see what's happening. And I think that's probably where all this came from. Don't you?
Well, and if you think about it, what I would just say to people is, you know, what do you always hear? The greatest indicator of future performance is past performance, right? Doesn't guarantee it. But if you want to know what's going to happen in the future, you look at what has already happened. And I always say, if Trump was not going to leave the White House, it would have been on January 20th, 2021,
yeah,
when he thought that he'd had the election stolen. He, you know, he had everybody up in arms. You know, we were all up in arms because we thought that the election had been stolen. That would have been the time when he said, you know what, I'm not leaving.
We're not leaving
until we get this sorted out.
You're exactly right, because he had the perfect opportunity and,
yes,
probably even some reason to say that back in 2021. He could have declared martial law.
He could have declared martial law on January 7th and stayed.
Yeah. So everything that they're afraid of, they shouldn't be. But you bring up the fear, and that's something that I have seen for a while and been talking about. That's all the Democrats have to run on. And
and they've been doing that forever.
Yeah,
they're gonna push grandchildren grandparents over the cliff, and you know, it's been around forever.
Yeah, and you know, you hear it from Hakeem Jeffries every time a microphone's in front of his face. He's saying that the MAGA extremists are going to kill democracy, and so you wonder if this is their play for down ballot races. In those 435 races in the House of Representatives, trying to, again, to create the fear so that they can hang on to a seat or two like they did with abortion. And I want to get into a conversation with you about abortion because of Donald Trump over the weekend. And he and Lindsey Graham sort of had a spat. And in my opinion, as I viewed it, this was Donald Trump saying, we're not going to do this again. You know, Lindsey Graham came out a month before the 22 midterm and tried to come up with a 15-week national abortion ban. And for the life of me, I can't understand how conservatives and Republicans can't take the win on the Dobbs decision in Roe v. Wade when it was flipped after wanting that for 50 years, and they finally get it. And it's not enough. They're not happy. They need more.
Well, and the other thing that's sort of funny, I actually just responded to somebody on this on X. Ruth Bader Ginsburg thought Roe v. Wade was bad law. She was on record as saying this is bad law. Now, she was the most pro-abortion liberal, furthest left liberal in the history of the Supreme Court. And the liberals don't even agree with her on that.
Yeah.
Even though she said it was bad law, because they don't care about the law. They don't care about the Constitution.
They just want it their way.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that you mentioned it a few minutes ago. I think that's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican, or a liberal and a conservative, because I do believe that it is, you know, I would give my life for a liberal to have their rights, and they would trample all over mine and yours.
Well, yeah, I think it's funny that they say, you know, he's never going to leave the White House. He's a dictator. You know, this, that, and the other thing. As they try to remove him from the ballots across the country, as they charge him with 91 fraudulent accounts, accounts of felonies. I mean, it really is ultimately just gaslighting. Yeah. They say exactly what they're doing. Do you remember? This is always an analogy that I use. Do you remember the very end of the movie 8 Mile with Eminem?
I do not know.
Okay, so at the very end, he is going to go and he's going to do this rap battle with this other guy, right? But he doesn't know how he's going to win, because the guy he's going against is great, and so he decides to let the other guy go first. He goes first. Eminem chooses to go first, and he disses himself, and he takes away everything that the other guy was going to say about him.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, you know, basically, I know you're going to say I'm white, and I know you're going to say I'm poor, and I know you're going to say this. And then he hands the mic to the other guy. He has nothing left to say.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's sort of the opposite here. Is the Democrats say exactly what they're doing, and they say Trump's doing it. So when we go, wait a minute, they're the ones doing it. And I think they expect people to go, well, wait a minute, they said it first. You're really the one that's doing it. They try to take it off the table by blaming the other person for doing it.
Well, and I'll take your analogy, and let's talk about Trump and abortion. Because I can see him doing exactly what you just described for the Republicans to say, let's get in line. We're not giving them the abortion issue again. It has been settled. It was settled because of the federal court, the Supreme Court that I gave you with my nominees and confirmations. We overturned Roe v. Wade. It went back to the states as it should be, is what Donald Trump said. And I agree with that. I think the states should make that decision. And now Lindsey Graham starts, you know, making rumblings that he's going to make something out of it again before the election. And I think it's really time for Republicans, because when it comes to abortion and pretty much any issue that you want to talk about right now in this country, between the left and the right, we're so far apart. The option here is a Marxist regime that advocates for post-birth abortion. So what part of that do people not understand? They need to understand it's time to get behind Donald Trump. He's the leader of the Republican Party right now, whether you like it or not.
Well, and here's the other thing that I think people need to understand, and I didn't know this until about a year and a half ago. I was reading Kellyanne Conway's her biography that she wrote, and in you know, she's a pollster, right? So she understands where people are at. She understands what people are thinking. I did not know this. I don't know if you knew this or not, Booker, but 75% of all Americans fall under one of the following beliefs about abortion. Number one, no abortion ever for any circumstance. Number two, rape, incest, or life of the mother. Number three, 15 weeks. 75% of all Americans fall into those three categories. 100% of federally elected Democrats believe beyond those.
Yeah.
They believe beyond the 15 weeks. So when we think that Democrats really have the issue of abortion on their side, they really don't, except for rhetoric, because their positions, the federally elected Congress, Senate, President, they are not in line with the average American. The average American doesn't believe you should be able to go into a woman's womb at 6 months and pull out the baby. They just don't believe it. So we as Republicans need to get better at articulating that.
Yeah. And I, during our conversation on Wednesday night here on the show, we do a live X space, and we have a lot of people from all over America that are sharing their opinions. And I threw out the stat that was close to what you just threw out. The number that I saw was 70% of Americans think it's okay up to the first trimester, which is basically what Roe v. Wade was for the last 50 years. And then the numbers drastically go down after that. When you get to the third trimester, it's to about 20%. So it falls in line with what you're saying there. I want you to hang on for a few minutes. Can you do that?
I can.
Okay, we're going to get into a conversation a little bit about the FISA 702, and I want your opinion for the first time on who you think Donald Trump should have as a vice president. Who do you think he should pick? We're going to talk about that next, right here. Well, it sounds like the Democrats and Joe Biden are looking for additional tax hikes. We have hyperinflation. You saw the CPI number this week. Is it a full-blown recession? Is it coming? Is it worse? I don't know. Maybe it's part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars Biden keeps sending to Ukraine. Trillions in new taxes he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, saving accounts, 401ks, IRAs, every bit of it, all of it, to zero. But you don't have to be a victim here. Protect your money and get your $10,000 in free silver to do it. When you visit BookerLikesGold.com and check out the people at GoldCo. GoldCo has helped protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people just like you and me. And they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account, just for being a listener of this show. So whether you want to protect 50 grand or half a million or more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control corrupt government. Whatever you do, protect yourself and protect your savings at BookerLikesGold.com.
If you ask me, this whole world is gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life for this place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back to The Truth Be Told here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. My name is Booker Scott. Thank you so much for joining us here on your Friday night. Friday's got to be the best day of the week, doesn't it? The weekend is here, and you can enjoy yourself and relax for a couple of days. And again, thank you for being the best part of America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are visiting with Chris Widener. He is partners with Dinesh D'Souza on RedReferralNetwork.com. Please go check that out. If you happen to be a conservative, which you probably are if you're listening right now, go to it if you're in business, if you're in sales, or anything like that, because it's going to give you the opportunity to connect with like-minded people just like you in business so that you can share referrals. That's what it's all about at RedReferralNetwork.com. So, Chris, we were speaking a little bit about abortion and that Daily Mail piece there as we started. Let's get into a conversation a little bit about the 702 FISA that is, it looks like it may sunset by April 19th. It doesn't seem that the Republicans are going to do anything with it in the House. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was going back and forth on text today with a congressman, and it was a congressman who did not vote no the other day. And I said, so you're supporting the FISA bill, right? And he said, yes. And I said, spying on Americans, right? He says, no, keeping America safe. Yeah. And I said, so, you know, how are we going to keep from what happened to President Trump? How do we keep that from happening? And he kept coming back. He said it three or four times. He said, there is an amendment. There's an amended version. I'm fine with it. And, you know, I haven't gone back and looked through everything yet. But we have got, I mean, there is this fine line, right? How do we keep our country safe? We live in a very, very, very dangerous world. And yet, how do you do that in a way that also protects the constitutional rights of Americans? Yeah. It is a fine, fine line.
Yeah, and as I understand the vote that took place this week, because I think there is some misinformation, maybe people don't understand, the vote that they voted no against wasn't on the measure itself, but being able to add the amendments to it. And so I guess it was about 20 Republicans that voted with Democrats that didn't allow that to happen. So now they have until April 19th to come up with something, or it just disappears. And I think it is important to understand that it has done a lot of good. And I looked this up earlier this week, and it has caught a lot of bad people that wanted to do bad things to Americans. And that's the fact. So if this goes away, what else is there for them to use to spy on foreigners in foreign lands that want to do something bad to us? And that's the other side of this coin, and I think that's probably what the congressman that you were speaking with was talking about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think any congressman wants us to be unsafe, but I don't even know that I believe that anymore. Yeah. I mean, you got Swalwell, you know, with his stuff going on. Rashid Tlaib, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of trouble, but we have to get that fine line down. I don't know all that our CIA is doing internationally. I would assume that they're doing all sorts of things to try to, you know, figure these things out in foreign lands. But the thing that I heard that was really interesting was, okay, so let's say that you're wiretapping somebody from outside the U.S. and they're talking to somebody inside the U.S. The person inside the U.S. has rights, right? And you can't use that against them. Here's the problem. What happens if the guy outside the United States is talking to the guy, the citizen of the United States, and it's a warrantless tap on a person inside the states, but it's not bad to do it to somebody outside the United States? Can you then take what you heard from the guy or gal in the United States and then use that? It's what do they call it? Fruit of the poison well or something like that, or poison tree or whatever. You know, I mixed my metaphors there. But, you know, it's kind of like a warrantless, you know, somebody breaks your Fourth Amendment rights. They come into your house, the cops do, and they find something. Well, it's inadmissible. So how do they, and I'm not an attorney in any way, shape, or form, so, but I understand the basics of it is you can't use something that you found, even if it was illegal, if the reason you found it was you breaking one of the constitutional rights of the person you found it on. Right. So there's just a lot of stuff that the attorneys and the judges and the courts have to figure out.
Well, you know, it was General Flynn that got caught up in exactly what you're talking about. It was his phone call with a Russian in between Donald Trump winning the election and Barack Obama leaving the White House. And he had that phone call with the Russian, and really he was telling him, just calm down, just relax a little bit. And the result of that was General Flynn was unmasked by hundreds of times. And he ends up getting arrested and then getting convicted. And ultimately, Donald Trump had to pardon him on that. So that's a perfect example of 702 abuse other than Donald Trump. But it happens a lot. It's not just those big, high-profile people that we're talking about. It happens to everyday Americans in the same way. So it's going to be interesting. But I do, and like you said, I'm sure there's a lot of duplication and redundancy. There are inside the NSA and the CIA, there's probably all kinds of ways that they are collecting information on these people overseas. And maybe FISA and 702 isn't what we need. And maybe if we keep it, it should probably definitely require a warrant to spy on Americans.
Yeah. And you know, the problem is people will give up their liberty for safety. And that's what you have a lot of people in America. And the problem is that creeps. You have mm-hmm. that creep that happens. Well, we give up a little bit of liberty. Well, then we give up a little bit more liberty. Then we give up. Pretty soon you have no liberty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I use the example of the red light cameras, you know, and seatbelts. As silly as that is, it kind of makes the point. You start there and you're okay with the camera watching you on the red light. And the next thing you know, they're pointing lasers in your car, which they have that now. They have that technology.
Or they get you to stay home. Or they get you to stay home for 2 weeks. Next thing you know, it's 6 months.
Or a year or 2 years, and your kids are out of school for two years. And you're wearing three masks and you're walking around in circles in a grocery store in the same direction. Talking behind plexiglass at the checkout. And then when you check out, the girl looks at you weird when you don't leave her a tip, and all she did was flip the iPad around for you. So that's where we are in 2024. Let's talk about Donald Trump's vice president picks. We did this, I guess it was Monday night when Matt Palumbo was here. I do a creative segment. It's called Mondays with Matt. How do you like that? It took me years and years of experience to come up with that creativity. But Chris, what are you looking at with the vice president for Donald Trump?
Well, you know, the main reason people typically pick a vice president is they basically bring two things. They bring a check of a box that they need, whether it's a state or, you know, a race or a gender or something that they want to check a box. And then number two, it has to be a person who can actually govern if the president is unable to govern through death or sickness or whatever, right? I don't know that that's so important this time. And I just frankly don't know who they would pick in any of those swing states. And so I don't know that we need we need a black gay woman. I just don't think we need to check boxes. I'll tell you who I would love to see. And I don't hear her mentioned very often. I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be fantastic. Now, she doesn't bring a state that they need. They're going to win Arkansas anyway. But she is a female. That checks a good box for us. And she is extremely smart, extremely articulate. And she's worked with President Trump before. I think she'd be a fantastic pick.
Well, you know, Chris, one thing about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I wonder if she is too close to MAGA. You know, she's perceived as MAGA. Does that help with the Kristi Noem voters or the Never Trumpers? Or do you think it even matters?
I don't think it matters. I mean, frankly, I think this is going to be most people have made up their mind about Biden. Most people have made up their mind about Trump. You have a small percentage that haven't made their minds up, and they're going to swing one way or the other. And I think what the statistics are showing us, the polling is showing us, even with like black males, I was just watching Martha McCallum earlier, and they had a gentleman on there. His name's Gianno, and he's an African-American.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's great. And I mean, they've dropped like 30 points or something like that. Biden beat Trump with black males by like 75 points or something like that. I mean, it was some insane kind of 50 points, 60 points, something like that. And they've lost 30 points of that. And so Latinos, blacks, I think just people who are sort of middle of the road who can't afford their groceries anymore. I tell every politician that I know, gas, groceries, crime on the border, gas, groceries, crime on the border. You just memorize it and talk about it because that's how you pick up those people who are swayable.
Yeah, it really comes down to, are you better today than you were 4 years ago? It always does. And when you look around, you have to say no for the majority of Americans. I think, you know, the top 10, 15%, they're probably not affected a whole lot by the decisions that Joe Biden has made and the policies that he's brought along. You know, the first name that came into my mind in this election cycle for vice president was a guy like Ben Carson. And the reason why is because I see him as very cerebral, very smart, very articulate. He has a great story. But then I think, well, maybe he's probably too late. And then I go to a guy like Tim Scott, and he's really been my favorite lately. Again, I think he's charismatic. He also has a good story. And I think he's attractive to voters. He's a good speaker, and he's also been pretty loyal to Donald Trump.
Yeah, I agree. You know, oftentimes people who come from the Senate or the House don't make the greatest presidents. You typically, you know, better presidents are people who come out of being a governor because they've run an executive branch before. Right. And so I think they understand that a little bit better. I mean, the idea with Trump picking Pence, I think, was there was somebody that could go work the House and understood the legislative process and things like that. So I could see Tim Scott. I don't know how he would be as president, but he certainly couldn't be. He couldn't be any worse on his worst day than the one we have right now.
Yeah, so. That is true. And much better than the vice president that we have in her brackets. So it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, Kristi Noem is another name that keeps popping up from people. Who else? What's Ramaswamy is another one. I don't think Ron DeSantis is even a consideration. And you mentioned that Senate. Let's see. Was George Bush the last one that was a Senate? I guess Biden was, but Biden's a little bit different because he was vice president for two terms. So I don't know that you could count him, although he is, you know, obviously done terribly as an executive coming from the Senate. And I guess, and maybe George Bush, you couldn't even count him the same way because he was vice president as well. So I don't know. What do you think about Kristi Noem?
You know, I actually knew Kristi Noem before. I think while she was running for office, a friend of mine was running for office at the same time. And they sort of swapped fundraisers and she came out to Washington State and helped out there a little bit. She seems great. She, you know, again, governor of a state, she's run an executive branch. She was congresswoman. So she's done both sides of, or at least two of the three branches. You know, she's attractive. She's articulate. You know, I think there's a lot of pros. I would say the downside is, what is there, like 48 people that live in South Dakota? You know, it's they're not experiencing a lot of the things that, you know, the breadth of issues that a lot of people experience. But
in South Dakota people, that was Chris that said that. That wasn't me, but I'll take the emails from the South Dakota folks. No worries on that. Is there
any... tweet me. My tweet is Real Booker Scott.
Is there any name that maybe people don't think about that is in your head that maybe Donald Trump could surprise us? Because going back to Mike Pence, I think he was certainly a surprise for most people. He wasn't in the top five for most of that time.
Well, I think given everything that's happened, I don't see any way that Ron DeSantis would do it. I don't see any way that Trump would offer him. The real unfortunate thing is that DeSantis got talked into running for president by a bunch of consultants who wanted to bill him $100,000 a month.
Right.
And if he would have sat on the sidelines, Trump could have redone his address up to New Jersey and or New York City, and DeSantis could have been vice president 4 years, president for eight. That is what I would have liked to have seen happen. But I think he got conned, and that would have been, I think, the perfect. The perfect pick. He could go with a business guy. I mean, or businesswoman,
yeah,
for that matter. But then again, I don't know. He's a guy that has surprised us in a lot of different ways, and I would imagine we could be surprised when he finally announces who it is.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I think we get laser focused and we look at the shiny objects, but. There's a lot of time between now and November, and really and truly, there's still time between now and July and August when he would need to pick somebody. So I don't think we need to get set on anyone yet, and hopefully everybody's going to be able to get behind whoever it is that he ends up picking. But I'm sure there are going to be detractors, because that's what people do. They sit around and find reasons to complain about everything.
There is one that I would love to see happen, though.
Okay,
it's never going to happen, but I would love to see, not as vice president, press secretary. We could pay off the national debt with popcorn sales if he would name Vivek Ramaswamy as press secretary. Could you imagine him taking those moron White House people to the woodshed every single day? I mean, we could truly, popcorn sales would go through the roof. We'd pay off the national debt, and we'd get to watch him destroy those morons every single day.
The economy would probably crash because none of us would be working. We would be waiting for that.
Exactly.
We'd be waiting for 1 o'clock every day to watch the press secretary.
Exactly.
Now, Chris, tell us about Red Referral Network real quick.
Yeah, Red Referral Network is that we are starting groups all over the country. We're in 30 cities already. We put groups of conservatives together once a week. They get to know each other. They get to know what they do for work, and they get to trust each other. They learn from Dinesh. Dinesh produces exclusive content for them for their groups every single week. And then when they are out and about doing their own work and somebody says, hey, I need to sell my house, do you know a real estate agent? You say, I know exactly the real estate agent. And they refer business to one another. That's why we call it the RED, for conservative, referral network. And it's a way for people to stop spending their money with people who hate them.
Yeah. You mentioned one time that it's $1.6 billion that the BNI group has been responsible for sharing in through the years. Was I right?
Actually, no. Last year they referred, they have 8,000 groups, and they referred $16 billion last year to one another. And some of that needs to come over to conservatives.
Yeah, and that's the objective here. So go to redreferralnetwork.com and get plugged into that right now. They're just starting it. It's 3 or 4 months old now. You can be on the ground floor of that and help out, maybe be a leader. Check it out at redreferralnetwork.com. Hey, Chris, any weekend plans for you?
I'm in Palm Beach for the day. I flew down here for some meetings, and then I was in Hartford, Connecticut this week. Now I'm in Palm Beach, and I'm going home, and I'm going to sit around in Chattanooga, Tennessee for the weekend.
Enjoy your weekend, and thank you for coming.
You too. Thanks, Booger.
Fiction becomes a religion. Places where nothing is clear. Sanity and reason just disappear.
Chairman, there are multiple members that could yield you time. I would ask that you...
I will have you physically removed from this meeting if you don't stop.
Whoa, I've been searching for everything, anything, just a tiny shred of proof. I'm just looking for the truth. I'm just looking for
more truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans.
America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Lean. Pure. With premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
I don't know if you saw the hearings that took place on Capitol Hill on Thursday. It had Catherine Herridge and Cheryl Adkisson in there. And the things that our government has been doing with our mainstream media. It was really interesting. I'm not going to get into it, but I will tell you that Malcolm will, on Sunday morning, on Viewpoint this Sunday, Cheryl Adkisson will be his guest. I'll also join him there on that program, Sunday morning at 10. Listen to the replay at 6 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Right now, I want to get into a conversation with Christian Lamar. He's a young man with a great political future. He's very active and involved in the state GOP in the state of Arizona. Christian, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Christian, one thing that I didn't say when I introduced you is you are part of the Arizona GOP Executive Committee, and you also ran for office in 22 and for the state House, and came up a little bit short there, but you gave it a great run. What are some of the things you guys are doing in Arizona to try to make a difference in the grassroots, to make sure that you get the right people into the state house to make those laws and secure those elections?
Well, what we're doing, we are taking an approach at the grassroots level. And that approach at the grassroots level is to, number one, use the political power of the party to hold our elected officials accountable. And we do that with the power of censure. You know, many people, when they hear the word censure, they think about the government censuring itself.
Sure.
But that's not what it means in its totality, because Number one, a censure is a public disapproval of an elected official. Censures were started back during Andrew Jackson's presidency. And there are two different types of censures. You have a legislative censure that's done by the government when they are censuring each other inside legislative chambers. And then you have censures that are written and motioned and voted on by the people. Now, the censures that are written and voted on by the people, those censures have more power than the government censuring itself, because those censures written by the people, by the voters, and the precinct committeemen inside the party, that is what elected officials have to rely on in order to even qualify for office.
I see.
And so just as an example, when Liz Cheney, if we remember, Liz Cheney was at the top of the United States Congress Republican Conference. And it's basically what that means to the audience is she was very high up in U.S. Congress. And when she decided to support the, quote, unselect committee, end quote, of January 6th, she faced not only was she no longer identified as a Republican by the Wyoming GOP, also she was soundly defeated in her primary. And even since then, going forward, no one's going to trust her. She couldn't. She would not be elected in a phone booth. And that is because of what the Wyoming GOP did. It started there, and that made every voter aware this particular elected official or candidate. You can't trust them. We don't identify her as a Republican. You shouldn't vote for her. You shouldn't even sign her petition to qualify on the ballot. You shouldn't donate to her. You shouldn't volunteer for her. You shouldn't go to any of her events. That has a huge effect on any incumbent, any elected official, any candidate. That's the real power of the censure, and that has a much greater effect than the government censuring itself.
And I want to come back to that and ask you how you guys are going about that in Arizona. But I don't know if you saw this. Liz Cheney over the weekend said that she hasn't ruled out running for president. I don't know who she thinks is going to vote for her. Maybe her dad would. I'm not sure. How do you guys go about this process of creating a censure from the people?
Well, what we do is we find out what is it for a particular incumbent or elected official. What is it that's happening within the government that should not be happening? Or is there a key policy or position that the elected official has taken against the interests of the voter or the precinct committeeman? What specifically there affects voters inside of that elected official's congressional district or any other part of the government? And once we've identified that, we put that into the text of the censure. And one thing to keep in mind, censures don't have to be written. So if you're a member of and this would be a member of a Republican committee, because a Republican committee, many times it has precinct committeemen, sometimes it has precinct chairs, sometimes it has central committee members, so on and so forth. And so if you're a member of a Republican committee and you're having a meeting, or if you call for an emergency meeting, you can motion for a censure of an elected official even without it being in writing. And once it once that censure passes and either the media gets a hold of it or you put it out in the public, just saying the word that that particular elected official was censured, it communicates automatically disapproval of the elected official.
It carries some that weight.
Correct. And that's why it's so effective. And this is severely underutilized, across, in my opinion, across, I would say, all states, because we should hear the word censure so much that people almost get tired of the word, but we're not hearing it. And one thing that that I have been telling people, an easy way of understanding this is, you know, when we see elected officials on television or when they're in an interview and they say, well, you know, I'm protecting democracy and it's all about democracy. Well, we've been conditioned to believe that when we participate in democracy, we go vote on election day.
Yeah.
And then we vote on election day, then we vote the next 2 years, and then the next 4 years, and then the next 6 years. And then we don't participate, we don't join Republican committees, we don't keep an eye on our elected officials, we don't give the elected officials requirements, action items, deliverables. We just automatically think, well, the elected official, they're going to do their job automatically. We're not going to have to tell them anything. And then we'll talk to them in another 2 years or 4 years, right around campaign time. Well, that's essentially what democracy really is. In a Republican form of government, that is where we're participating 12 months a year. So the elected official not only is listening to the people, they are representing the people, but there is a constant communication back and forth. And that participation ensures that there is a Republican form of government in a republic. And that's the way we should be seeing not only our elected officials, our government, but our country overall, because we're keeping a close eye and watching our elected officials to see what they do, to see if they follow through on the promises that they made during their campaign.
We have to be involved in the local level at the GOP, join the Republican clubs. You have to rub elbows with these people. That's where you vet. That's where you find your candidates, and that's where you help promote them, go door to door, and get people elected. And that's where the change is made, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. That is, as I say, is the political power. All of our state constitutions say that all political power is inherent to the people. In our federal constitution, it says, we the people. So whether we participate or not, the power is with the people. The only question is, are the people utilizing their political power, or is the government becoming the political power? Because when the government becomes political power, then that's how you create dictators. That's how you end up with an authoritarian government. That's how you end up even with a group such as Hamas inside of the government. Yeah. Hamas holds 74 legislative seats of 132 for the state of Palestine. They have
they're the government
political power in the government under the terrorist group of Hamas.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I try to remind people of is, if you want change, you have to be the change. You can't sit back and let things happen, or we end up exactly where we happen to be right now. And I'm the first to admit, you know, for 20 or 25 years, I sat back and put trust and faith in the people that I voted for. And I realized several years ago that didn't work. And we have to get involved, and we have to get involved at the local level. And it's really so simple. But yet we try to stay focused on the presidential race or the Senate race, the big races, but that's not how it's done, is it?
Right, right. And it's more than just getting involved in one particular race during the election season. It is essentially staying involved and keeping an eye on your elected officials, so that, you know, you don't have to whip out an election guide on who you need to vote for.
Yeah.
You know who's who, who's been doing what, have they been representing the people? And it won't be as if you need to go and call your friend and or call someone. No, you're already going to know. In fact, I would even take it a step further. We as citizens and as the people, we should be putting so much pressure on our elected officials that they should have to pick up the phone to call us to find out what it is that we want.
Yeah.
That's what should be happening.
And wouldn't that be great if we could just pick up the phone and call our politicians whenever we wanted to, or even better, like Christian suggested there, that maybe they pick up the phone and call us. I'm not going to hold my breath for that one. But wouldn't it be nice? It's a nice thought on a Friday night. Have yourself a great weekend, and thank you so much for listening here to The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Don't forget, Viewpoint this Sunday, Cheryl Adkisson will be Malcolm's guest. That's going to be a big program, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. And then if you miss that one, you can hear it at 6 o'clock right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. You were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth, and salt without flavor, it has no value. So whatever you do, keep being salty. Have yourself a great night. Unleash the Political News Hour. It's coming up next.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.